Okay. Make sure you got levels coming in.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it seems to work.
Can't confirm.
All right, we're good.
Levels.
All right. Let me get into character. No, I'm kidding. Let me think for a second.
What's your character?
Hi, everybody. I'm Nick Schwartz here.
Hey, everybody. All right. Now I'm just thinking about it. Hey, everyone.
Hey, everybody. Oh.
Hey, hi, everyone. Everyone.
Oh.
Hello. Oh. Welcome to the morning zoo.
Woo. Hit the panic button. All right. You know what? We'll just make this our intro. That actually works fairly well. Just in case you didn't listen to our first show, this is the second one that we're doing. We haven't decided on a name, but by the end of this podcast, we will have a name for this podcast. So you'll know what it's called before we currently do, if that makes sense. Hi, I'm Nick, and I'm joined by Corey.
Hi.
And I'm joined by Daryl.
Hello, hello.
And we're back to talk more sports, and this is the show that introduces sports to people who may not know as much. Also, for people who really love sports and just want to get to the nitty-gritty and talk about all the cool stuff that's going on. We can focus on certain stories and whatever each week, but we're here to have fun and we're here to talk about stuff and, you know, get serious from time to time. So, today, having said that, we'll be getting to some big topics. The All-Star break, Josh Hader story, which had a strange... Well, we'll just have to tell you about it later on. And, of course, North Carolina coach Larry Fedora with some comments that we'll be talking about. What the hell are we going to call this thing? Answering a couple of questions. But the big one that we're going to lead off with today, NBA free agency and a big bombshell earlier this week. We're Spurs fans, or at least that's the team that we watch the most. Daryl and I are from San Antonio, so we're huge Spurs fans. And Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green heading their way to, I was going to say, marry old Toronto, but I don't think that's a thing.
Yeah, it's still part of the crown. Thing, yeah, it's true.
I don't know if that actually works or not. So
I don't think that works. No.
Well, either way, they're on their way to the frigid north. The Great White North. There you go. And then the Spurs get DeMar DeRozan, and who's the other dude? What's his name? I don't know how to pronounce
Jakob
it.
Jakob Poeltl.
He's actually supposed
to be turtle.
Pretty good. And then a draft pick as well. So this was the big one. This is a huge story. And if you didn't know, if your head has been under a rock or whatever, if you've been living in a cave, Kawhi Leonard and the Spurs had a bit of a falling out this year. It was one of those things where the player was injured. The team cleared him to be able to play, but his personal doctors said that the injury was worse. He needed to rehab it, so he needed to sit out. He played 9 games total this year. I believe that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up sitting out the rest of the year. And then for big games, and of course the playoffs, he wasn't there. And there was some talk back and forth between the team, like, oh, when people asked them, they were like, oh, we don't really know. And so we have all this happening. And then apparently at some point this rubbed him or his camp the wrong way and they all got pissy. And it just seemed like this was a bizarre thing from the begin with for a group like the Spurs, who are known in NBA circles as the team that they're impervious to this stuff.
Yeah, they were, Kawhi's camp was very upset that the Spurs gave them complete control over his recovery. And it's just like, why would you trust us like that? And they just got very upset.
I'm pretty sure that's not the reason. But
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I think this is a weird one for multiple reasons. And it's because we never actually heard a word from Kawhi. Kawhi Leonard never said anything in the public eye. In fact, I don't think I've heard him speak publicly since probably one of the last games he played, or maybe one of the last games he was at. Can you guys think? I can't think of a single time that he went on record with a journalist, dude, the media, anything. I mean, like, he doesn't even handle his own Twitter, I don't think.
Yeah, he was seemed like he was very quiet about everything.
I want to say he gave an interview at some point during the season.
But that, I mean, but that would probably be the last time they actually talked about it. I mean, we haven't, again, since there was word of a bit of a rift, and needless to say, fans were a little upset. And rightly so, back when he was, when it was, oh, well, will he be back or won't he be back? Because the Spurs had the opportunity to get into a really good spot before the playoffs started. They lost, and they ended up falling, I think, two or three slots as a result. And then they started off poorly, and there was still hope that he would show up in one of the series to help carry the team. And then they shut him down for the rest of the year. That's where they kind of put them on its own form of injury reserve. And nothing ever came of it. Nothing happened. No words were spoken. As far as we know, his camp, which is his uncle Denny, and I think his mom is included in there, Kawhi Leonard's. And we're just sitting here like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, he never said anything, or he wasn't, didn't seem like he even supported the team, like, in the playoffs. Was he even, like, sitting, was he on the bench?
No.
At all?
No, never. I mean, just, a couple of times.
You
know,
normally
earlier,
you think if the, if a player gave a shit about the team, he would at least, like, try to support his teammates.
But that was the really odd thing about it, too, is because, like, he always seemed like a team first kind of guy, and he's a big competitor. So it was like, my thought always, at least up until the trade happened, was this guy's a competitor. He wants to be there to play. He doesn't want to sit back. Like, this must be killing him as much as it's killing all of us, because we just want to see him play, and he just wants to play. And that's all we all want. And I guess at some point he wanted to play in LA. So that was the big thing. There were some rumblings happening earlier this summer about how Kawhi wanted to go to the big city. He wanted to go and play for the big market. And San Antonio is a smaller market, in case you didn't know. Although it's gotten a lot of pub in the past, 18 some odd years. Just
for
because
some reason, I can't remember why that would be.
Yeah, I don't know. It might be
some guy.
Dude named Tim Duncan.
Eva Longoria. There
well,
we
she,
go. That's
she
what it was.
Tony Parker. Monty was there, yeah. But in any case, so he wants to go, or at least this is what the camp is floating out there. And there were some stories from Adrian Wojnarowski. I don't even know if that's how you say his name.
Close enough.
Yeah, exactly. It's a tough name to spell. So he's a reporter, and he was reporting this earlier this summer. And so we were all like, oh, well, maybe it's just a ploy by Uncle Denny to get the max contract, which is something that a player is available to receive if he's been with his original team all that time. Right, Daryl?
Mm-hmm.
So he's basically eligible to get over a 5-year, about $220 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're thinking to ourselves, and I think a lot of Spurs fans are thinking, okay, this is what is going to happen. They're going to give him this money. They're going to at least offer it to him, and then we can find out where everything truly lies. And it seemed like that was going to happen, but you're not eligible to make that offer, like, actually, like, you can talk about it, but you can't put it on the table. You can't, like, slide it on a piece of paper over to him until a certain week in July. And so the weekend that was supposed to happen was last weekend. And then Monday rolls around and you're like, okay, well, maybe something will happen. And then Tuesday happens, and then this big trade announcement. And so now Kawhi Leonard and another fan favorite, Danny Green, both gone. Two excellent defenders as well. The two are the best in the league, actually. And then you got a 3-and-D guy in Danny Green, so he's good at shooting the three ball, too. And then Kawhi is one of the best players in the league, as if he's healthy, and if he decides to play for the Raptors. This is the other thing, right? So he wants to go to L.A., but this trade ends up happening, and he has a year left on his contract. So what that means is the Spurs could have traded him to L.A. and gotten some pieces, but L.A. knew that his contract was going to expire. So rather than do that, they decided to keep those pieces and just wait the year out, thinking that Kawhi could play or sit another year in San Antonio. And San Antonio took advantage of that and traded him, so they at least got a little something out of the deal.
I think it's bullshit for a player just to demand where he wants to go. So
after shutting himself down,
after I'm not going to play the rest of the year, I want to play somewhere else and just not play. And you're going to be like, I want to play in LA, and like killing the Spurs' ability, like to get a good deal, you know, like in a trade, like fine, you don't want to play for us anymore. But you're going to be like, I'm going to go to LA. It's like, well, shit. Like, I mean, you don't owe any loyalty to the team, I guess, and the team doesn't owe any loyalty to you. And it's not like the old days where there was actually loyalty.
And also, I wonder if he's also undercut himself. Like, if he does go as a free agent, like, oh, well, you know, you want to come here. And
we know that.
Yeah, we know that. And you don't want to go anywhere else. So,
well, like, womp, womp. Well, there was an interesting stat about that too. It was something along the lines of he was eligible for in San Antonio. He was eligible for a 5-year extension for $221 million. With this trade to the Raptors, he could play another year, and the Raptors could offer him a 5-year deal for $189.7 million. That's, you know, nothing to laugh at. But if he waits an additional year and then goes to any other team, the Lakers, obviously on that list, you can't go a full 5 years. You have to do 4 years, and the max that he could get for it is $140 million. I mean, that's nothing, but I mean, like, basically he loses out on a guaranteed year if he ends up in LA, and also $80 million.
Yeah.
So if he just wanted money, the smart play is to stay with the Spurs.
Right. So it says that it's not just a money move here, right? So it's probably like a branding thing.
Yeah, did he not get it shoe deals? I don't.
He did get a shoe deal, and then he turned it down.
Oh, that's good. Well, I don't understand what the problem is.
He was on Jordan.
Not to shit on Kawhi, but he's not the biggest personality.
Like, well, and if he goes to L.A., he's not going to be the biggest personality anyway.
He's a big star, but no one knows what his voice sounds like.
He barely speaks.
See, I think San Antonio would have been the perfect place because the way that he is and the way that that team is are both so simpatico that they match each other perfectly. It's like quiet and quiet together. And then this thing happens and it like shatters that completely.
I honestly feel bad for Danny Green getting traded away.
No, he's also on his last year of a contract, so maybe he comes back. Like, that's,
maybe he comes back. Also, kind of feel bad for DeMar DeRozan since the owner basically told him, or president told him, that they were going to be, you know, they were with him and loyal to him, and then they traded his ass away.
I mean, they said that they were going with him the rest of his career, and they're like, we're behind you 100%. Like, you've done all this work to improve your 3-point shooting, because he's classically been not a great 3-point shooter, and
right,
he loves taking those deep twos, man. So now you got two guys in San Antonio who love the deep two, not great 3-point shooters. DeMar.
Well, also have Chip England.
That's true. Chip England, coach. He's one of the best shooting coaches all around.
Well, maybe DeRozan can improve and show something in San Antonio.
Maybe.
I fully believe he'll actually play. I mean,
he'll play and he'll actually make them really good on offense. The problem is going to be the defense now, because he is. Yeah. A below average defender, I would say. And Kawhi is probably the top defender in the league. So,
yeah.
And of course, you lose Danny Green. So it's like, well,
you know, Kawhi wasn't the top defender in the league last year when he didn't fucking play.
See, that's the thing. Even without Kawhi Leonard and only having played 9 games, and I think they didn't even win half of those. I think they went like 5-4 or something like that. I might be wrong, but they still won 47 games and got into the playoffs. And if they just won one more, they actually would have been in a really good position to make it run. So
yeah,
all that stuff happens. The Raptors in the East, if Kawhi plays, you got to figure are either the favorites or the second favorites behind the Boston Celtics now.
Yeah, I have to see what happens with Haywood and Irving. Now that they're back from injury.
Well, that team did really well without them. Do you think, are you saying that the issue might be chemistry now?
Well, I mean, they have to learn how to play because they didn't really have like Gordon Hayward got injured on the first game of the season.
Oh, that was such a brutal
that's horrible, injury. Yeah.
Now I'm sure they'll do fine, but it might take a little while.
Yeah, but they got Stevens as coach, so I think he's putting something together there, and it should be interesting. And here's the other thing I like about this. I think honestly, the best case scenario for fans of basketball who aren't Lakers fans is that Kawhi likes Toronto and ends up staying there.
Yeah, because if he goes to LA, that's just a
well. First, shit. Yeah, you're just terrible now. You're making another super team in the West.
Yep.
And
the East would be just the Celtics at that point.
Basically, yeah.
Just another brain drain to the West.
It's man, the Western Conference is loaded with teams, and honestly, it's way tougher, I feel, to get in good positioning there than it is in the East. You've got the Golden State Warriors who have won, let's see, three straight now. I think it's two straight. It was let's see, they won one, they lost one, and then they won two. So they won two straight, but three in the last four. And all they did in that time frame was add an MVP, and then they added an all-star just now. They added DeMarcus Cousins, who's one of the better big men in the league, but the problem is he's a bit volatile. So we'll see what that does. I'd be interested to see him and Green and see how they get along. It's going to be a weird year.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you saw this, but the Lakers basically did that. You know, that thing that you see on Twitter sometimes where it's like, okay, you have $5 to build a team. And let's say that LeBron is worth $4 of those dollars. And then, so LeBron was $4, and then they went ahead and filled everything up with 25 cents players. So they've added now Beasley, Michael Beasley. Michael. If you're
remember Nick, do you remember when Miami got that really high pick? Like this was like right after like the championships and all that, and they got Michael Beasley, and people were like, "Oh man, this is going to make the NBA unfair that this Dwayne Wade led Miami Heat team is going to get Michael Beasley." And then that really didn't happen.
No, I mean, nothing happened, really.
No.
Beasley, I mean, he had an okay career in Miami, but he wasn't like the perennial scorer that he was supposed to be. And now I think he'd been to a couple of teams after that. Now he ends up on LA with basically everybody's sloppy seconds. He ends up
there. They have a lot of young talent.
They have young talent, but
they got a lot of high draft picks from, you know, being terrible for many years.
Yes, but they also have like these old washed up weirdos, with the exception of Rajon Rondo. When Rondo is good, he's one of the best. The problem is he's not a great shooter. And then you got Lance Stevenson.
Who's never proven to be good outside of Indiana.
No, and that was like 1 year that he really showed up, and then ever since then, that seems to have been like the one shining moment. And then who, the big tall dude who's goofy, he played for the Warriors last year, Daryl.
Oh, we're talking about JaVale McGee?
JaVale McGee, everybody's favorite punching bag.
JaVale McGee. Sorry.
It's
hard to hear his name without hearing Shaquille O'Neal saying JaVale McGee.
He's also, he can't shoot. He can't really do anything. He's got bad ball handling skills.
I mean, he's got to fill the team out with people, right?
I mean, he's a big guy.
He's been effective in his role.
Yes.
Playing 15 to 20 minutes. He's been really effective at that. So,
yeah, when he doesn't have a huge load on his back, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
And but, also, all those contracts are like for a year.
Yeah, they signed a bunch of people for like a year, right?
That's true. I think a lot of it is to get through to next year when they hope to get the big prize, which is Kawhi Leonard.
Or there's going to be lots of other people available in the mix too, because there's a lot of people with options next year.
Oh, Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, Kyrie Irving.
No, is LeBron is never going to play with Kyrie.
There's no way.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be pretty hilarious, though.
Bring him in.
They do not get along. Or at least Kyrie doesn't get along with LeBron.
Let's see. Klay Thompson will have an option. Kevin Durant will have an option.
Oh, KD is comfortable winning, doing, you know, every once in a while having to put the team on his back.
Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about
it. Then why did he sign a 2-year deal if he didn't want the option?
That's fair. That's fair. Maybe he wanted to see if he could make the league more competitive. Or maybe he wants to pull the LeBron and go home.
Maybe he'll go back to Oklahoma City and not hate him.
No.
What?
He can finally go back to the Wizards, his hometown team that he doesn't want to go to at all.
How sad.
Or he can come down to Texas. Close to his alma mater.
San Antonio. Oh, I'm sure that's going to happen.
With his buddy LaMarcus. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a nice dream.
It's not going to happen.
But that's just the life. I mean, this has been a really interesting year in NBA free agency. And now we just kind of play the waiting game and see where the fall where they may. Carmelo Anthony, who has, I mean, he's been fine for what he is. He's not a great defender. He's not great at sharing the ball. And I feel like his numbers have dropped a little. But he also had to share the ball with Russell Westbrook and Paul George last year. And so he was traded to the Hawks, who are going to waive him. And it sounds waive him or like are going to pay off the rest of his contract and waive him. And then so he gets his money, but he also will not be playing there. It was a 3-team trade. And
what did the Hawks get out of that exactly?
They got cap space.
We'll take your shitty player and waive him immediately.
Yeah. It got cap space. Actually, it seemed like a lot of moves this year were for next year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because next year, the Lakers will have cap space. Atlanta will have lots of cap space now. Brooklyn, Chicago, Indiana, the Knicks can have it if they make some moves. The 76ers will have cap space. Like you said, in Boston, there's a lot of people on short-term contracts in Boston, including Kyrie Irving. So there may be a lot of the moves this year seemed, or DeAndre Jordan also signed a 1-year contract. Lot of the moves this year seemed like they were setting up for next year.
We're going to have another year of way overpaid people. Like a lot of players getting way too much money for no reason.
Yeah, but as long as it makes it competitive again, I think the ultimate...
No, I'm talking like players don't deserve it. Like,
well, some of them.
Not stars.
But that's the risk you take.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's just the gamble, man. That's the game.
Yeah, you got to seal that deal by throwing in an extra, you know, $80 million to get Rashard Jennings.
Oh, yeah.
No, not Rashard Jennings. Is that his name?
Rashad?
I can't remember. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You're fine.
Good job.
So, yeah, Carmelo now, they're talking about him might be going to Houston.
Rashard Lewis.
Oh, yeah, Rashard Lewis, yeah.
Yeah, apparently the Houston is a front runner for that.
So,
Carmelo Anthony for no reason? I don't really know.
I don't know, man. I don't know if it makes the team any better.
Houston was pretty good last year.
I mean, Houston was great. They honestly should have. I feel like they should have beaten the Warriors, but
they were number one in the West, right? They won them in the regular season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
It's never good enough. Well, they didn't beat the Warriors in the playoffs. Looks
like there's a bunch of moves this year, but really not a whole lot changes as far as the balance of power goes.
Nothing really long term.
Yeah.
Aside from. Like, the Warriors somehow getting another excellent piece that could have made any other team really close to a defender or a contender, at least.
I mean, you think the East will appreciate not having to go through LeBron to get to the finals?
No, because now they're going to have to go through Kyrie and Kawhi.
Well, I mean, Boston won't have to go through LeBron to get to the finals.
No, but they'll have to go through Toronto. Kawhi.
I mean, Toronto
have a shot.
Well, Toronto was first in the East last year during the regular season.
Yeah, and then they fell apart the like they always do.
Well,
yeah. Oh, that was so hard to watch when they would cut to the fans out in the plaza.
Just watching, sad.
Just getting just demolished at home.
Oh, God.
I really felt bad.
And let us just say here as Spurs fans that while we appreciate what Kawhi did for us, at any point, he brought us a championship. He got himself a finals MVP. At any point in time, he could have come out. He could have said anything to put this the other direction. He could have said anything to the fans directly. He could have done anything in his power to make sure that his point was given and given well. And he did nothing. He did nothing. And that we will not be forgiven. That will not be forgiven, and I wish him the best, but damn, dude, damn. You let the people who ripped their hearts out and put them on their sleeve just for you, and you turned your back on them. All right.
Nick, I'm not going to say that I want him to be a post-injury Tracy McGrady ghost that haunts the NBA for an additional seven seasons.
No.
But if that happens, I mean, it happens to people. I mean,
That's awful.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I mean, did he even send like a stupid tweet like thanking San Antonio?
There was like an Instagram thing from like his official account, but like
like Danny Green sent out a thing, and I was like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, San Antonio, for a year of free paychecks.
Yeah, exactly.
And like I said, it's one thing if he's actually hurt. He could come out at any time and say something. Just say something. Just say something. Don't let your dickhead of an uncle, excuse me, your wonderful uncle, come out there and control the narrative, which is exactly what happened. And that is the shit I can't stand. We lose another one of our favorites. It just kills us. All right. Well, let's move on to
talk about something else.
Oh, God. I was like, let's move on to something happier. This is not happier at all. Oh,
none of this is happy.
This is all bad this week. It's so bad. By the way, you're listening to a podcast that we're going to name here in a little bit. There's this story about a lady. There's a story about a pitcher in the MLB named Josh Hader. He's about 24 now. And over the MLB All-Star break, which was last weekend, apparently it came to light that he had some, he had some tweets from his younger self. And we're not talking like tweets that went that he put up on something where he hid his name. It wasn't like Dookie Monster 500 tweeted this. It was like, no, it's Josh Hader. Josh Hader tweeted. So this guy plays for the Brewers, by the way, if you don't know, Milwaukee. And so everybody's like, oh, well, I wonder what the deal is. And if you look at his tweets, they're horribly racist. They're not funny. And then they're anti-gay as well. It really, really bad. And so all these came out. They were things he tweeted back in 2011 and 2012, I guess, when he was about 18 or 17. And so he tweets this stuff out those years ago. I guess he ends up playing in the MLB. This comes to light over the MLB weekend because, you know, with the internet the way it is, people are always digging dirt up on someone for some reason, right?
Definitely, yeah.
And so this stuff comes to light. He apologizes for it. And his teammates all get behind him. And it's like, okay, well, I don't want to speak for everyone. It's definitely a really dumb thing to do and a really bad stuff to say and like just asinine, immature nonsense. But on the other hand, I get it. I don't get it. I get that he was a younger person and that you're much dumber when you're younger and that you make bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, people deserve second chances. But then, you know, on Saturday night, we're recording this Sunday evening. On Saturday night, he played for the first time since that All-Star incident. And the Brewers gave him a standing ovation when they announced his name.
The fans, yeah.
The fans did. And I get the second chance thing, I really do, but it just rubbed me the wrong way.
He definitely didn't deserve cheers.
I mean, he said things like...
For apologizing? I don't know why they were cheering, honestly.
Well, yeah. He plays for their team, I guess.
That's the stupidest thing.
Some of the things he tweeted KKK, gay people freak me out.
I hate gay people.
He literally said, I hate gay people. Yeah.
Yeah.
He dropped the N-bomb a couple of times.
He also put a fist and said, white power lol. That's pretty sweet.
I
mean, the N-bomb thing, those are lyrics of a song. I can probably let that go from a 17-year-old idiot, but the white power stuff and the KKK things. I realize you're like 17, but Jesus, man. Come on. Also, he doesn't seem that bright if he left this shit on the internet and didn't bother deleting all these old tweets.
One, I don't get...
Or his camp didn't tell him to delete these things.
I don't get the fact that he was able to do it and not have anything blow back on him to begin with. And two, I have no idea why he would leave it up. And three, what is wrong with people that they think to themselves, this is a great thing to tweet? I know that people want to be edgy and funny and all this other stupid shit. Look at me. I need attention. Look at me. I'm going to post this.
Yeah.
And are you just doing it for the edge factor? I mean, this just pushing this crap out there for no reason other than to get attention. And then, I guess back then it didn't get attention. I'm not sure what the responses were to it at the time. But now you're getting that attention, and it ain't so good.
Well, I mean, was it Brewers? Brewers fans don't give a shit.
I mean, the Brewers fans gave him a standing ovation. I don't.
I mean,
are they saying that? Here's the thing: you don't know the context, right? So it's like they could be saying like, "Oh, hey, we get it. You were a dumbass, but you're trying to make amends and be better and do better." Or is it like, racism too? I
will show you dirty libs trying to sully our players.
Yeah, totally. It's all about liberals hating on racist.
I just, and it, like his thing said that he was immature. I used to be immature.
When you're 17, it's not an excuse anymore. 17, 18, you need to, it's not an excuse anymore. Sorry.
It doesn't replicate on who he is as an individual, and that's simply what it is.
Mm.
These are this great CNN headline. After racist tweets resurface, MLBer is cheered.
It's quite the headline.
It's quite the headline.
Look, I'm all for people getting a second chance. It's just a little disconcerting. It has been a week since it was discovered. Yes, it was something that happened a while ago, and I know people are upset about things being dug up and like presented this way. For instance, the James Gunn stuff, but the stuff he tweeted was also stupid.
The internet's forever, guys.
The internet is a scary place, and I think that ultimately what you can learn from this is, one, don't be a racist dickweed on the internet, and two, don't be a homophobic dickweed on the internet, and three, if you're going to try to, let's just say that he was trying to make jokes in this case. Let's just say. I'm not
sure
saying that that's what the case was, but let's just say that. Don't double down and do extra crap like this. He kept doing stuff. Like, he didn't go out there and explain himself. Like, oh, I'm sorry, that was a bad joke. Like, oh, it was in reference to a conversation I was having with a friend. He didn't do anything like that. He just put it out there and left it out there for people to see. It's just dumb.
It's really dumb.
I'm glad we didn't grow up with social media.
I mean, we did, I used to type stupid things like I thought were funny. They were never racist or anti-gay.
Yeah, it's like there's a difference.
But you go for the shock factor or whatever. You're just in your own head. You just want people to pay attention to you. And so all that and then the Brewers fans, and it's like, yeah, I honestly don't know where I stand. I just know it makes me feel really weird. And
I mean, yeah. Yeah, hopefully he, you know, he's probably going to get a little less than a standing ovation at any other.
That's the thing, man.
Park.
Well, except except in maybe St. Louis, but let's not talk about that.
Yeah, so no. that was a weird story. That whole Twitter controversy, and you know, like it could just be that people were trying to show that they support his, you know, going back on what he said. But
I mean, he does have to go to sensitivity training.
Well, that let's MLB. Be honest, that's always the answer, isn't it?
MLB has ordered that or something.
All right. Cool, so speaking of comments that were bizarre, North Carolina head coach was saying, or the head coach Larry Fedora had some interesting comments on the game of football itself and where the game is headed, and also the what he said was basically the lack of danger in the sport. And just to give you a quick rundown on that, he is convinced that basically all present rules that are for safety and any future rules will soften the sport, which he believes provides life lessons that strengthen the fiber of America. And in this case, it was a new rule for the NCAA football. It's a kickoff rule that basically allows fair catching kickoffs inside the 25-yard line. And if you're not familiar with the game of football, or particularly college football, what it means is normally if the ball is kicked and it's outside of the end zone, you know, that spot where the there's no markers on the field other than like this big painted section on the end, and it's where you would score a touchdown, or like when it's kicked to you, as long as it's in there, you can take a knee and that will automatically take it out to the 25-yard line. Now it looks like you can take a knee, what, just anywhere in 25 yards there?
And for a touchback? To the 25-yard line?
Yes, it doesn't have to be in the end zone. And also, if the ball goes into the end zone, it's an automatic touchback. You don't have to grab it and take a knee.
Now, all of this, all these rules were done with the intent to reduce full speed head-on collisions, which were happening on these kickoffs, and leading to concussions, which they were worried causes CTE, which causes mental issues further down the line when a player is older. Like, we've seen it with a couple of people who ended up committing suicide, or at least that's what studying them has revealed. And so Larry Fedora, the coach, went on to say that he fears the game will get pushed so far to one extreme you won't recognize the game 10 years from now. And this is a direct quote, by the way. That's what I worry about, and I do believe it gets to that point that our country goes down too. There will be decline of our country, there's no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. I think because the lessons you learn in the game of football relate to everything that's going to happen in the rest of your life, and if we stop learning those lessons, we're going to struggle, and I think in some ways we're struggling more now than we ever have.
That's the stupidest argument for anything, really.
How are you still not getting those lessons even with these rules?
I mean, I didn't play football. I think I'm okay. Like, what lessons? He didn't even, like, what lessons is he even fucking talking about?
Yeah.
Like, I know, teamwork.
Also, teamwork. That every sport has teamwork, bro.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't understand. Like, this is the worst argument. Like, if it improves safety, I'm all for it. Like, maybe less people watch football because people aren't getting, you know, injured grotesquely. I don't know.
And also, it the kickoff, there's some other kickoff rules in there too, which basically make it like punt returns, which also will open it up to more returns. Actually, we'll see how it plays out in the actual field.
I mean, if you want to make it safer, just, you know, take out punt returns, kick returns, and just whatever.
Well. Like, and that's actually been discussed, which is why a lot of these changes have been made to these kickoffs and potential for punt returns. They're basically And I think the NFL, too, is trying to make the kickoff much more like a punt rather than, you know, what the old kickoff was, where they gain a lot of speed coming down the field. So,
yeah.
So those were already weird comments. And I'm with you, Corey. I think it's a bizarre argument to begin with that that's already doing the decline of the country. I think it just comes off really bizarre. But then he goes on to say that or he was asked who he blames for the game being under attack. And he said, quote, a groundswell of data that is tweaked one way or the other, because I can take the data and I can make it one way. You can take the data and make it look another way. And whoever is presenting it is the one that gets the say so. This is in reference to CTE and if there is a correlation or not between it happening and concussions, and particularly the game of football. And he says that it's just as likely in any other contact sport. And while I agree that it is, the potential is there in contact sport, I mean, we're talking about a sport where you are having contact every single down, every single play. There is a thump, a thud, or a crash in some capacity between some like players.
Head-to-head contact, like...
potentially.
Smashing your head into somebody else is what's causing... what's a problem. And, like, I guess he doesn't think, like... he's not sure that anything is proven that football causes CTE. It's just repeated blows to the head cause CTE, which what the hell does he think happens in football? Like, you're going to be bashing your head around because they use their helmet as, you know, sometimes some people use it to tackle, and it's really not the best strategy, but
yeah,
you should not lead with your head.
Yeah.
You lower your head when you are running. Like, your head's just going to get hit. I mean, most sports don't have a lot of head-to-head contact, I would say.
Yeah.
Like,
you only see it a lot in hockey and football and boxers, obviously.
Well, obviously, boxers, they're getting punched in the face a lot. And that has its own issues. I mean,
yeah. I mean, that that's a whole other can of worms. Soccer, too, has it with the headers. Daryl was actually... we were talking about it before we started recording this, and he was saying that at a younger age, they encouraged kids not to do headers.
Like hitting your head on the ball?
Yeah.
Oh, because you have a chance of smashing your head against something hard?
Well, you know, I mean, just because the brain...
hitting the ball is going to be developing a problem?
Oh, think about it, man.
That ball, I guess when you're younger, that's definitely a problem.
Right.
But you're not going to do that. I mean, in all, that doesn't happen nearly as often as a football player is going to have.
I mean, if you're up... bashing. If you're an attacker, I mean, it can happen multiple times a game.
That's fair.
Like I said, there's a danger there, but I think the biggest one is in football, just because it is a sport that requires you wear a helmet, and those helmets, while secure on your head, when you hit, it still causes the brain to move around inside the skull, which isn't great. And so,
not ideal, no.
I mean, he's trying to say that he's still trying to say that there's a problem, and that yes, there is data, but that it's a big threat to the sport of football. And yeah, football has changed a lot over just the past 10 years, honestly, but he's worried that the game's going to suck. And then I saw a lot of comments and response that were like, the way football's going, it's just going to be people playing flag football in the end. It's like, well,
then don't watch it. I mean,
that's I also read a bunch of people who say they don't watch it anymore because of certain rule changes and making things slower. And, like, if they're making it safer,
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I'm still going to watch it. I'm still going to tune into it. It's still the most popular sport here in the United States.
Yeah. I mean, you can't deny there is a risk in playing football. There's probably more injuries in football than, like, you know, serious injuries than anything. And, like, you know, a lot of people don't want to put their kids into football anymore.
Well,
due to that risk.
That's also, like, I think, part of the reason he was talking
about. That's part about of it. His problem, yeah.
Yeah, he's worried
he
about that.
The game is at risk, I guess. I don't know.
But
I mean, being, you know, of an age where I might have kids someday, I wouldn't want them to play football right now. Like, I would encourage them to play something a little safer, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just one of the liberal people who doesn't want their kid to get hurt. I don't know.
And so you're the reason why we can't change these rules, Corey, because weaklings like you
Yeah, it's the weakling in me who doesn't want injuries.
You're the reason that football is going to die, Corey.
I didn't play football because I watched both my older brothers.
You're part of the problem.
I watched both my older brothers play football, and both of them broke bones and got injured. And I'm like, no, I don't want that.
Corey, who's the smartest out of your family?
For high school, me. hey, man. Not hard to tell, okay? Like, I don't want to get injured. Like, fuck that. Like, I'm in high school. I have nothing to gain from this. Like,
there's not exactly definitive evidence yet about the CTE thing, but there is enough of a correlation.
There's enough, yeah.
Like, there's enough information there based on a couple of studies that they've done. But again, the results are a little bit more skewed in one direction because the people who donated them were family members who thought there might have been a problem before this person passed. And so
right. It's
like, okay, well, this already had a high likelihood. So I think it was like 202 or so odd people that they ended up testing these brains. About 88% of them tested for CTE. So there's enough of a correlation there. And especially it seemed to match people who played in the National Football League, less so in the youth and high school, although high school had a little bit of a number, and then more so in college. Semi-pro, and then even more in pros. That counts for Canadian and the National Football League. So, yeah.
And also CTE is also found in people who aren't athletes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's soldiers. I mean, anybody. If you work in a field where you could take a bump on the noggin, and sometimes you're genetically predisposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
More likely to get it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, like I think it's also a problem among veterans, though. So this is just, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, the coach is trying to make a point, and like I kind of get where he's going. He doesn't want a game that he's been involved with his entire life to change completely, but he's going about it with the wrong message in the wrong way, and also just making a couple of ridiculous points. But
yeah.
What do I know?
Yeah, the moral fabric of this country will fall apart, Nick.
It's all because of football.
I remember, Nick, when our founding fathers took a break from drafting the Bill of Rights to go throw around the pigskin outside of Independence Hall.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Yep. George Washington was a mean linebacker. He knocked that little munchkin John Madison flat in his ass.
Speaking of that, didn't we talk about how he Fedora also stated that he had talked to military personnel who had suggested the success of the military was due in part to the number of football players who went on to join the armed forces?
So he said that a bunch of soldiers?
No, like apparently some military personnel told him that.
Oh, okay.
That's what he said.
For a second, I thought you were like, he went up to like a bunch of soldiers like, hey,
you guys, you know why there's so many good people in the military?
Because of football.
Because of me.
Football. It's me.
It's my doing.
Because of people like me.
Coaches like me who make millions of dollars.
Look, of people like me, you can
in
have
a college setting where the players get nothing.
All right.
So where's my holiday? Where's college football day?
It's every Saturday.
Should it be? Yeah. So how about next year instead of Veterans Day, we'll have
college football.
College football day.
College head football coach day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
All for me. So yeah. So we know this has been a little bit more of a serious podcast than what will probably be our normal fare. Like, we'll get serious when we need to get serious, but like, we're here to have fun too. So that brings us to a pressing question, gentlemen. Very pressing question. One that we've been trying to figure out since we had the idea, but a week ago. what the hell are we going to call this thing? What are we going to call this podcast? We've had a lot of ideas.
Had a lot of ideas about
Corey this. And I sat down and brainstormed for a while yesterday. Then Daryl joined us.
On all of our ideas.
Really loved. Well, first off, I was like, we should come up with like kind of a punny thing. And guys, again, I'm not saying this is it. I'm just going to go through a couple of the names here that were suggested to us as well. And somebody, well, first off, we were like, well, dropping the ball is obviously one that you got to consider. There's drop the ball podcasts that exist, but dropping the ball, we're in the action of doing. So we're a little different in that we're always constantly dropping the ball.
Yes. See, we're not going to do, we're not going to use that direct command drop the ball. We are going to use the gerund dropping the ball.
Yes. Yeah. For all you English majors out there.
And then, of course,
it could also be a present active participle.
Oh, but, Jesus.
Shut up. I was trying to come up with with sports puns. And of course, there's the old saying, par for the course, which is a golf term. But I was like, we don't want it to sound like we're experts. And par for the course is like everything's normal. So I was like, what if we went one lower? We called it bogey for the course. And we're like, oh, me and Corey were laughing our tits off. It was so funny. And then I tweeted it out. I was like, oh, what do you guys think of this? And they're like, oh, you better be talking about golf. It's like,
it does sound like a golf podcast.
It does sound like a golf podcast.
It is a good name for a golf podcast, though.
It's a great name. Somebody suggested Unsportsmanlike Conduct, which we all love, but there's a lot of shows with that title.
That's pretty common.
Home Advantage. We were thinking of some. I was thinking of something. In fact, Corey got probably tired of me saying something. I want something that says sports with morons. And Corey's like, shut up.
Yeah, I don't want it.
Fans in the stands. Rushing
which I
the field.
Vetoed because it sounds like ants in the pants.
Yes.
Yeah, I was not down for that either.
Yeah. But I think the one I'm leaning most towards, and this is one I really like, is just a half court press. And the saying
I
is
do
actually.
Like that.
What? You do like that?
I do like that one.
Well, the saying is normally full court press when,
right.
When a team inbounds the ball in basketball, you'll have a couple of guys come up and basically harass the ball handler, the ball carrier. And so, but instead of doing that, we're more like gonna stay as far back as possible and do a half court press. So it's lazier, which makes us sound lazy, which is what we're going for because we're lazy.
I am lazy.
Yeah, I mean,
I like even to sit.
Yeah, sitting down right now.
Yeah, I've been sitting this whole time. So, that's kind of what I was doing.
I didn't bother putting pants on for this podcast.
Was that all of the names we had?
There was running out the clock, the side from the sidelines.
Okay. The problem, I can see the problem with half-court press being basketball.
But we do talk a lot of basketball. And I think if we make like a logo that doesn't have just a basketball or basketball court in it, like if it has multiple images of like different sports tools.
Yeah.
Also known as
sports
balls.
Tools. Sports tools.
Yeah. Yes. Our sports MacGuffins.
Yeah.
Equipment. Oh, wait. It's called equipment, Nick.
We could call it.
Oh, sports MacGuffins.
Sports MacGuffins.
Holy shit. New idea.
You know how sports MacGuffins are so
important. I'm going to look up the word MacGuffins and podcast. Man. Let's see.
I mean, I think dropping the ball is the most generic one.
That's too generic.
But it conveys that we're going to talk about, well, everything.
Sports MacGuffins.
What, Daryl, what are you leaning toward? Now you're leaning towards sports MacGuffins. Got it.
Sports MacGuffins, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I really let's see, an object or device in a movie or a book that serves merely as a trigger for the plot.
But we're sports MacGuffins. I mean the ball is the MacGuffin in sports.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Oh, but whatever the object is. It worked so well with the first episode, actually. It brings it back.
Because we talked about sports MacGuffins.
Oh, my God. Is that what it is? Is this what's happening?
Did you just make it up after all this discussion, Daryl? Did you just make it up during the podcast?
I did.
Or do you just aim to say MacGuffin every episode?
I think he just likes to say MacGuffin.
I can't believe that this is happening. I think the podcast is going to be called Sports MacGuffins, which sounds like a stupid dog name.
Come here, Sports McGuffins. Come here.
I think MacGuffin is a dog.
All right, Nick, we can put it up to a vote. We can put Sport
top
MacGuffins.
Three choices or Sports MacGuffins.
Sports MacGuffins, dropping the ball, podcast, Mick podcast face.
No, and half court press. We're never doing that, Daryl. You stop it.
Sports, sports podcast, Mick sports podcast.
Oh, my God.
Let's just
sports
go.
McSports.
Sports McSports.
Let's go with Sports MacGuffins.
You just want to roll with Sports MacGuffins, though?
I mean, it's unique and it's new.
Turning on half-court press so easily.
Wow, I love half-court press, but again, it doesn't really... It doesn't give the whole story, and Sports MacGuffins kind of does, and it's making me kind of mad.
That we didn't talk about it before.
Yeah, damn it. Well, I mean, I was kind of hoping we'd have a discussion like this, but I didn't think it'd be Sports MacGuffins. Well,
damn it.
You're listening to Sports MacGuffins.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, that's decided.
This is how Chicago Ted Lives became a thing.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Don't talk about it.
And if you don't know what that is, it's the stupid name we came up with for our group of friends because of a video game reference. And now it's like the thing we got stuck with. And now people kind of know what
to rename
it is,
that too. Oh, it's terrible.
All right.
That? All right. That's a different. Yeah, that's a different.
That's a different podcast. All right.
Sports MacGuffins.
Oh God.
All right. And we got one. We got one question.
Answer a question before the end.
Yeah, this is from Mad Queen Opus on Twitter, and it's Well, can you give a basic rundown on what in the actual hell fantasy football is?
Well, Nick, you're the commissioner of our league.
I am the commish. In fact, we better get started. stay tuned for a podcast about... No, I'm kidding. Maybe one day we'll talk about fantasy football.
We should totally live podcast our draft.
Oh, my God. No one will show up to that one either. All right. So
let's do it.
We're not talking about the podcast. We're talking about something else. Let's see here. So fantasy football is a game designed by bad people for bad people. And when I say that, what I mean is degenerates. People who like to gamble, but gambling wasn't legal in their state or city or wherever they are.
Right.
Or planet. Some of them are out there. and basically, the way the game works is you'll have a league of... We started with 10, but you can go up to like 12. You probably could go up to 16 if you were a monster. But generally, you probably want the lowest number to be like 8. And you have all these people. They all pick team names and do ridiculous names for their teams and then ridiculous logos and things like that. And then the basic point of the game is you want to have the most points each week. So you need to... You have what's called a draft, and like much like sports, regular sports. But the difference is everyone like gets together either in a room... But we're too lazy to do that. So we just get together in an online chat room. And then we basically end up drafting. And the game puts you in a random order. So it assigns you an order, like 1 through 12. And the first person will go and all the way through 12. And it's called it's what's called a snake draft, in that the 12th person is also the 13th person to go. So it'll like go back down. So he gets 2 picks in a row. And then that'll happen to the person who was originally number one, back and forth, all the way until you get through... How many rounds is it? Like 16?
Yeah,
something like that. So what you're trying to do, there's point designations depending on the position. So like guys who are receivers, you know, the guys who catch the ball, are given more points for caught touchdowns and receiving yards. It's how many yards they get in the like on a catch. Running backs can get points for both catches and rushes, which is when you carry the football and run with it. So you get points based on that. Quarterbacks get, because they're the ones who touch the ball every single play, even if it's just to hand it off, they have a little bit of a different set of rules because they're passing it, and so it's going to go further. So like instead of it being like 10 yards is a point, it's like 25 yards is a point. And so all these things you take into account, and then you pick basically a player in any of these positions from any of these teams based on who's left available in this draft until everybody has this team. And then you have enough players to where every few weeks there's this thing called a bye week for certain teams. And that's when the team is off for a week to give them a break so that they don't die during the season. And then during those weeks, you're able to switch out those players with other players that you've hopefully planned for in those adjoining weeks. It's very complicated, but it's really fun if you're winning. Otherwise, it's a complete trash game, and it's for bad people, like I said. But I'm going to do it again this year, and we're going to pay money again this year.
Yeah.
And there's always at least like two or three jerks who just like give up after the fourth week.
Not even. Yeah. Some of them don't even show up for the draft.
Totally like, ruins everything.
And then they come in for the first game of the year. They're like, oh, I really should have been here for the draft. And it's like, yeah, well, we asked what day was good for you. And you said this day. Like, oh, but I had a meeting after work. And then I had to go to a happy hour with this girl who I thought was looking at me, but she was looking at my best friend.
This is very
Tim.
Specific.
Sorry, I'm getting a little
holy shit
long in the tooth there. But basically, there's a few people who like to ruin it for everybody else by not showing up and making it uncompetitive. And then there's a group of people that have the tougher division who show up every single week and actually care about their teams. And then there's the other people who don't show up for anything. And the one guy gets in the playoffs for no reason and is able to basically roll through the... So...
Hey, I got second.
So basically, you are playing to get into the playoffs. And then you're playing to win in the playoffs. And then you're playing to win overall in the end. And when you win in the end, normally you get a god dang sticker in your email that says, congratulations, you beat the other MacGuffins.
Yeah.
But we are going to do for money.
Yay, money.
So to answer your question, it's a game for bad people, by bad people, with bad people.
Mm-hmm.
To win money, potentially stickers, bragging rights.
Yeah.
And basically, it gives you a reason to root for certain players in the NFL.
To watch other teams other than the one you care about.
Now, if you really want to get down to it, that is actually probably the easiest one to do of the fantasies. Because there is also fantasy basketball and baseball and hockey. And there's even fantasy high school football here in Texas.
Really?
Who the hell would play that?
I think it's like a smaller thing that the parents do because they don't like their children secretly.
Insane people.
I was about to say, who compiled all these high school stats for these?
I don't know. Man.
Oh, you know who used to compile some high school stats?
Well, that's you.
Yeah. I used to. They would use some of my stats. They were often wrong.
I mean, you don't got to be exact with high school players. Who gives a shit?
Oh, God. All right. Well,
that looked like 65 yards. Who cares?
We're happy to be doing this. This is a lot of fun, aside from the seriousness of the early parts. But I hope you stuck through it and enjoyed it. And, well, this is number two of Sports MacGuffins. So I look forward to hearing your hate mail about why it's a stupid name.
After I purchased the domain for it. Thoroughly. I am so excited about that.
I'm excited too.
I am.
Yeah, I know. You came up
with it. You need to set up an email to get some email questions.
Oh, man. Remember when we were like, oh, man, if only Daryl were here to come up with some really good ideas. He always has got good ideas.
Well, he showed up and then didn't say anything.
Yeah, he was like, oh, yeah.
I bet he figured it out and was saving it for just
He was saving it for just this moment to ruin my Sunday night.
That's the way it works.
And that's the way it was.
It just sprung from my head like Minerva from Jupiter's head.
Oh, God. Well, at least you're getting an education, folks. All right. Thanks for tuning in to Sports MacGuffins. I look forward to the budding career. We'll see you next time.
Yeah.
See you later.
You're dripping confidence, Nick. See you, everybody.
Don't say dripping in my presence.
Oh my.
Oh my. Sorry, I'm debating about which part to actually have cut this off at now.
All right. Maybe not the sound effects at the end.
Yeah, maybe not. All right, I'll go ahead and cut off the recording.
All right, Nick, we need to do... I guess I should prepare it.
I'm going to stop this now. Good.